focus on you in the light. It helps me feel my emotions. Why are we at such a distance? Find ourselves so out of frame. This love stay calm in the night. Yeah, help me heal and reopen. Why are we drifting away from everything we wanted to save? I told you I'd be down forever. Loving you is danger, but it don't feel wrong.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 83 of The Locker Room, brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers you precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, so make your testies their besties and get 20% off with free shipping using our code LOCKA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using our code LOCKA, L-A-T-K-E. Your balls. Well, thank you. It's been a long 2 weeks. We didn't have an episode last week, but we're back now with a great interview with Lindsay Metzler, the influencer and dating expert and the host of We Met at Acme. I am Johnny Lazarus, as always, and I'm joined by my dear friends here, Jake Asman, Al Addis, Max Massbaum, and I saved him for last on purpose just to ruin his ego, Justin Kalfmaster. So what's up, fellas? And for starters, actually, I got to send it over to Asman right away and congratulate him on the new show with ESPN. So everyone gives snaps for Jake.
Wow. Thank you. So I'm pumped, man. I've been living in Houston. I think some of our audience knows that. I've lived in Houston for the last 3 years doing a national show on a network called Sports Map Radio. The same company I work for, though, they also own an ESPN station in the city, ESPN Houston, 97.5. So starting Monday, August 16th, 3 to 7, drive time in Houston, I'll be co-hosting a show with actually another fellow member of the tribe, Brett Kellner, who is a, you know, frat star at UT back in the day. And I think he was in the frat Sammy. So any of our UT listeners maybe know Brad, and also Cody Stutz, who I used to work with. So I'm pumped, man. It's going to be a 4-hour show talking Houston and national sports and a major city. So it's going to be fun.
A fellow you.
That's unreal.
Longhorn, hook 'em, UT, all that.
Speaking of Houston, obviously you were at the UFC fight this week. I know we spoke about it a little bit before, but fuck Derek Lewis losing. Like, obviously, I mean, I did have money on him, A, but B, I mean, I wanted him to win. Like, who didn't want him to win? But can you talk about that a little bit? I did see you on TV. Shout out.
Yeah, well, shout out to Dana White for the hookup for that, man. I mean, I have never sat that close, really, any sporting event, but, like, to be that close for, like, a fight and you just see the speed and the strength these guys have up close, it really is unbelievable. But I'm with you, man, Cappy. You know, Derek Lewis, when he came out and the Houston faithful went nuts, I mean, it was electric. You were hoping he'd win. But man, you know, Ciryl Gane is an elite fighter for a reason. He's unbelievable. And, you know, Derek Lewis will be back, but now we get to watch Gane versus Francis Ngannou, and they want to maybe put that fight in France since they're both Frenchmen. I mean, man, that's going to be an epic fight. But just being at the UFC event and being so close, I mean, that was a special night. I'll definitely never forget that.
I'm keeping the spotlight on Jake right now. It's like Jake Power Hour. Not shower hour.
I've been off the show for a couple of weeks. I was on vacation, and then Johnny was on vacation. No. So it's my first time back in a while.
So who, besides obviously like Dana White and the fighters, who did you see at the event famous wise that you were like, oh, that's amazing. I love, like, you know what I mean? You were so pumped to see him. Not necessarily met, just like saw.
So there actually weren't like a ton of celebrities at this, just because it's like it was in Houston. It's not like it was in Vegas or New York and whatnot. So, and it wasn't like a huge pay-per-view card, but you had a bunch of like Houston athletes that were there. Some members of the Texans were in the building. I saw Whitney Merciless was there. I think I'm trying to think what other Houston Texans players were in the building, but the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, was there. So, you know, it was pretty funny. They show him on the screen, and obviously like half the arena boos, half the arena cheers. And I'm like, yep, politics in 2021. So it was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, it was just so cool, you know, being up close watching that. And, you know, obviously, you know, Derek Lewis is beloved in the city of Houston. So everyone was there to see him. It didn't work out the way we all wanted it to, but it was still a lot of fun to be there and watch the card.
How quickly did the crowd recognize that? Cause I recognized pretty early that it was not going to go our way because it got quiet, but when did it like shift in your opinion, if you can remember?
Yeah, probably maybe end of round one, maybe beginning of round two. Because at the very beginning, it, like the crowd was chanting Derek Lewis's name. There was a Houston chant, I remember. There was a USA chant that busted out. So, I mean, early on, it was electric. But Gon did such a good job of like basically just boxing Lewis from the outside, keeping Lewis away from landing that like power that he has. So once that kind of started to happen and you could see that Lewis wasn't going to be able to land that shot like he normally does, I think people were like, all right, this guy Gon is, you know, he's a 3-1 favorite in this fight for a reason.
Right. Yeah. I saw there was one moment where Gon was, you know, getting away from him and Derek Lewis was trying to, you know, swing for the, you know, the haymaker. And I'm a football guy, so I'm watching him chase Gon. And Gon moved at one point, and like the way that he was unable to stay with him, I was like, oh boy. I was disappointed as well, but that guy's legit. So at least, you know, I thought no one would fight Ngannou with any, you know, with any interest really, you know, but I think this guy Gon is legit from what I saw.
Did you boys see Jake? I mean, you were obviously there. I heard this after. So Gon's like walkout song, I guess he did a song specifically to like fuck with the crowd, and everybody thought it was Derek Lewis that was walking out, but it was Gon. And so they all were cheering until they realized it was Gon walking out, and then they all started booing. Did you see that?
Yeah, I'm trying to forgive me for forgetting the song, but
I know, same.
Derek Lewis comes out to a song by a Houston rapper, and Gon came out to a song either by the same artist or just another famous Houston rapper that he's come out to previously. So you're right. The crowd started booing when they realized it wasn't Derek Lewis coming out, it was Ciryl Gon. So yeah, he trolled the crowd before. That's definitely true.
I love that.
I know, it was so funny. But boys, I kind of want to talk a little football. Football's coming up soon. I already got the group chats going. My fantasy teams are buzzing. I haven't obviously no drafts or anything like that, but like the leagues are already set up. I know where I'm picking. Is anybody else as excited as I am? Because like this is like I need this. Like this is like when I'm like mid hockey season, this is like my escape. You know what I mean? A little fantasy football, and like I got my boys calling me like 7 times a week. Like it's pretty intense. My leagues. I know Maxie. I know Jake. I'm sure. Like I know you guys have some pretty competitive leagues too. But I'm pumped.
You know what was kind of sweet last year? You had football on like Monday and Tuesday sometimes, so you would have like the midweek games
and Wednesday and if there was a day of the week that ended in a Y, we had football played at some point last year because of all the COVID reschedulements. I'm pumped though, man. I mean, football season's the best. You know, if I work in sports radio, football's king. You could talk football year round. You could always find some sort of angle to talk about when it comes to the NFL and college football as well. So, I mean, it's fantasy, it's gambling, it's your team, it's everything, man. And just like you, Cap, you know, my league, we had our draft lottery when I was on vacation. That was already intense. There's already some wheeling and dealing going on with, you know, we do like draft pick trades. So we have like people trying to move up in the draft and trying to move back. And, you know, the phone is just going off all day. I'm like, guys, I mean, come on here. But, you know, it just means football is coming.
It is. I literally told my buddy the other day, like I probably haven't spoke to him in like a good 5 months, but then hockey season then starts, which I know like fantasy football season's around the corner. And this guy is just fucking on my ass every day. It's something new. We actually almost kicked him out of the league this year. Shout out Hunter Goldberg. He listens to the pod sometimes. Big fan. Goldberg, not a Jew, though. We've talked about this before. The one with the last name Goldberg, not a Jew. I repeat.
I don't believe that. That's just not factual.
Crazy stuff. But yeah, we almost kicked him out of the league this year just because like a lot of the boys basically had to sit him down and said like, hey, like we work during the week. You don't need to call me at fucking, you know, 10 a.m. on a fucking Wednesday when Sunday football is not even happening to let me know, you know, the free agent market's open or you got the first pick on the waiver wire or something.
What do we think about COVID? How do you think that's going to affect the league this year?
I mean, how's it going to affect any league, you know, all leagues, not just football? It's going to be crazy, man. I hope
rampant right now in the MLB. I think it's going to be a big problem once the season starts.
No.
It's going to be a problem for Cole Beasley.
Yeah, I mean, they'll figure it out, though. Like, the NFL was the first to figure it out, make it through its full season. They never missed a game. They never missed a playoff game. So if they got to reschedule stuff, they will. You know, they'll figure it out. They always do.
Even everything, dude. It's concerts, too. Like, I know Green Day was just – or not Green Day. It was Fall Out Boy. They were doing the Hella Mega Tour, and they had to cancel their shows because they had, like, a COVID outbreak in their band. So, like, we're kind of seeing it come back with everything. It's not even just sports. It's affecting everyone, dude. It's crazy.
Johnny, let's talk about your Italy trip. What was the COVID situation like there?
Just going to ask that, yeah.
Honestly, you know, pretty similar to New York now. Like, everyone had to wear a mask inside. You had to show, you know, proof of vaccination whenever you wanted to go in somewhere, or at least most places. Like, you know, when I wanted to go inside a panini shop, I had to show, like, a green card or green – not green card, something green. So, I don't know. But it was, like – just proof that I was vaccinated.
Proof that you
might
American.
Have been called a green card. I think it was called a green card. That doesn't make sense though. But yeah, no, it was like, I mean, have you guys been, I know Max has been to Italy. Have you guys been to Italy? Any of you?
No.
Never.
Oh my God. It's fucking incredible, man. Like it really is probably the prettiest country like that I could think of. I mean, I've only really been to Italy and Belfast, Ireland in Europe, so that's the only thing I have to compare it to. But what?
I was gonna say, fuck the views. Talk about the food. I want to hear about the food.
Oh, the food was incredible. The food was incredible, but I was disappointed, and like this is me being an idiot, but I didn't know that chicken parm wasn't a thing in Italy. It's like an American Italian food. Like chicken parm was not on any of the menus.
So what did you do? You just ordered something else that was just as good?
No, just it was like pasta. Just that, like, there was no really meat involved. It was
what
all
about the pizza?
Pizza was delicious. But actually something too that I wanted to talk about, which like I wasn't able to really appreciate because we have it now, but the outdoor dining scene there is crazy. But like now that we have it in America, I wasn't really able to like appreciate it because I'm used to it. But I feel like if I went to Italy 2 or 3 years ago, I would have been like blown away with how everyone is eating outside on the street and like it's all blocked off for restaurants.
Can we talk about that though for a second? Like, I don't know about you boys, but as a kid growing up, you go into restaurants with your parents, all this stuff. Like, you don't give a fuck where you're sitting. As you're older, every time I go out, it's like, if it's a nice place, regardless if it's a nice place, it's like, I won't, like, it's always like outdoor seating. Like, let's like get a nice view. Like, yeah. So like, it's like honestly one of the most important things. Like when I'm going to a restaurant, it's like, I need to sit outside.
I was going to say, especially in the city, because everyone wants to get outside, especially when it's nice out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say too, though, I feel like at least me and Ellie, this happens to a lot whenever we like, you know, try to make a reservation in a restaurant, or whenever we, I guess maybe we don't have a reservation, but we show up to a restaurant and they like look at us because we're like young, and they fucking shaft us with the shittiest table at the restaurant because we're not like, you know, high rollers, I guess, at the restaurant. Maybe they give like, you know, the people who are older that look like more rich, better table. No, that definitely happens to us. I feel like it's common.
Tell them you host a podcast.
I do.
Last, I kind of want to hear the story. So like, about the chicken parm, did you just like when did you like first realize? You obviously had to ask the waiter, like, hey, do you guys have chicken parm in the menu?
Well, I kind of just like asked Ellie's family if that was a thing, and then they kind of made fun of me that I didn't know that. But like it was super disappointing. But also, I wanted to ask you guys too, like, when you travel to foreign countries, is it like completely fuck up your stomach? Like, I felt like shit for the entire week.
I don't really have much to compare it to be honest. I've only been out of the country, I guess twice. I've been out of the country, and one of them was for Rio, and I was there for so long, I don't remember my stomach like being really bad during like the 6 weeks I was there.
Honestly, I don't really remember. I don't think so. I don't think I had an upset stomach, but this might be a hot take. I was not blown away by the pizza in Italy.
I mean, yeah, well, we have good pizza here, yes, but like,
I honestly thought that New York pizza low-key better.
I mean, a buffalo chicken slice from La Piazza crushes anything, but like just the normal plain slice in Italy, though, was amazing.
Do they do the cold cheese slices like our good friends at Little Vincent's in Huntington do?
They don't do the cold cheeses. But one thing that I did eat, which was sick, was like at this like random like wine and cheese store, like it was across the street from the hotel. I was just hungry, wanted a snack. They had like, you know, pizza rolls, obviously, right? Like the snacks you put in the oven, whatever. They had just like a big, like, you know, like 1 foot pizza roll basically. And it was amazing. It was incredible. Like imagine biting into little pizza rolls, but having it be like a big sandwich kind of thing. It was so good. And it was like a random little place. I thought that was like insane.
What was the best city that you visited?
Dude, Positano is just insane. Straight out of a postcard. Like pictures don't do it justice. Like it really is just like the prettiest view ever. But
last,
what?
I was gonna say no, last couple things on Italy. Cause I want a few quick hitters too.
All right. Well, I'll give you a good story. So yeah, you know, I'm on, and we talk about this in the interview with Lindsay a little bit, like just like, you know, things that I should have been aware of going to the trip because we recorded before the vacation happened. But like I said, I have a lot of stomach issues, honestly. Like I get very seasick, and you know, I take a lot of shits during the day. But so we drove an hour to like this wine tasting in Tuscany, like 40 minutes into the ride, I'm like, oh God, like I'm gonna shit my pants. So like, I don't say anything. I'm like kind of, you know, crouched over in the back seat of the car. And then as soon as we pull into this wine tasting, I like sprint speed walk away from Ellie's family. I'm like, I have to find a bathroom. Like I need, and this is the third day of the trip. And you know, I've been dating Ellie for like 2.5 years, maybe a little over 2 years. But, you know, obviously I try to hide my bathroom issues as much as I can when I'm around them. But this one, I literally just, I took off. Like I could not hide it. And at some of these places, they make you pay a euro to use the public bathroom. And I didn't know that. So I'm sprinting to the bathroom and I show up to the fucking bathroom and there's like a gate to like get in. And I'm like, how the fuck do I get, how do I get in here? Like, so then I scream, does anyone, like, it says like 1 euro on the machine. I'm like, does anyone have change? And I'm screaming, like, I'm an American screaming at Italians. Anyone have change? Like, I need to go to the bathroom. And everyone just looks at me and goes, like, shakes their head. No. So then I immediately sprint back out. I find like the first store I can go in. I bought like bread for 5 euros just to get change. Sprint back. Pay my euro, ended up going to the bathroom 4 more times in the next 40 minutes. So I spent 5 euros in that hour just to take a shit.
This is my nightmare. That is actually my nightmare playing out. And you lived
Chipotle away.
I was literally panicking.
What did Ellie think of this? And what did her family think of this? Did they have any reaction to this?
So they kind of understood what was going on at the point, I think. So but like I would go to the bathroom like 5 minutes later, come out, and I would try to control myself while they shopped. And then I'd be like, I'm going back to the bathroom. Like that happened 3 times. And then it got to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to the front. I'll sit and I'll wait for you guys to be done. And I'll meet you outside. So I just sat by myself for like 20 minutes.
At least you got to go to the bathroom at the end of the day. You didn't crap your pants, which would have been a huge issue, I'd imagine, in Italy. How long you'd just be sitting in your own filth. Oh, man.
An hour away from our Airbnb, too. So I would have been, I don't know what I would have even done. It was literally a nightmare. And then I ended up like we went on a very nice boat to Capri from Positano. And 45 minutes into that boat trip, I started throwing up off the side of the boat. So I don't know if I didn't tarnish that relationship. I did a good job.
At least you look good. You look good on this trip.
Thank you. Ellie's very good at dressing me and making me take pictures. So
Adora.
Yeah, we shopped at H&M and Zara. It was a good trip.
Laz, what's one thing that there is in the States that there isn't in Italy and vice versa? That's like common.
In common between America and Italy?
No. One thing that's common in like America that you see often could be like food, anything like something like that. That's not common in Italy. You can take this out.
That's just a really hard question. I didn't have that prepared. I don't know. but something that I think we did appreciate a lot, actually two things. The train system there, like incredible. Like you can take a train from like, you know, one city to the next and it goes twice as fast as the Long Island Railroad, and like you can get
freaking Amtrak.
Yeah, but it's like the common thing. Like Amtraks aren't like common here, I feel like, you know.
But you're also common. Like I feel like city to city is almost like state to state.
But they also have like, I mean, I don't know. I've never actually been on an Amtrak, so I don't know. I can't really compare, but on the trains there, you like buy your seat on the train. Is that an Amtrak thing? Like, do you have like a certain assigned seat?
Yeah,
you do. Oh, you do. Okay, so it's not that cool. but then the other thing too, which is crazy, like it's so cool that like everywhere you go, English is such a dominant language.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I was able to communicate with almost everyone in Italy. Like it was so incredible that like the example we gave was like, imagine like a Russian person going to Italy. Like, what the fuck would they do? Like, they don't. Like, Russians probably don't know any Italian, and like Italians probably don't know any Russian. How would they communicate with each other?
They probably know English though, because usually most places are dual, like able to speak like multiple languages. We're just Americans, and we can't do anything other than English.
That's what I'm saying. English is just the common language, which is like really cool for us.
What's your Italian like? Did you quote Brad Pitt and Inglourious Basterds and be like "Buongiorno"?
No, all I did was "Grazie." I love saying that.
Grazie bella.
Enough about me. I do want to introduce a new segment that we are trying out. We don't really have a name for it, but right now we're calling it the Once Forever and Never segment, I guess. I don't know. It's a working title, but the whole concept is similar to like a fuck, kill, marry. We're going to come up with 3 different things every week. You know, what we would, you know, want to have forever, what we'd want to have one more time, and what we would get rid of out of the three. I think that was a good explanation. No, was that pretty good?
Yeah.
OFN.
Once Forever and Never. There was a young boy named Johnny Lazarus.
It's a PG title, so we want to kind of come up with something funny, but like also original, and not just do like fuck, kill, marry, because that's like
I like it. Once Forever, Never. No and.
OFN. OFN.
OFN. Sure, OFN works. But so this week we're gonna do Step Brothers, Wedding Crashers, and Superbad, and the concept is out of the three, you're gonna have to get rid of one. You can watch one of them one more time, and then you know one to have forever. So who wants to start us off? I feel like Cap, you should start us off because you always start off the Oy Vey.
Oh, all right. I'll start us off. So I'm going to. Okay. So once is fuck.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I gotcha. I just can't. I'm looking at Max every time. By the way, Max is the one who came up with his name, and every time we say it, he just, like, I see a little like smirk down there. So I don't know if he like loves it or doesn't, but it's killing me. Okay, so I'm going to once.
I'm going to once. I don't like that. I don't like that. this is a fail of a first try.
I don't want to start. Somebody else start.
All right, Max, you start.
All right. Well, I love Wedding Crashers. I don't really watch movies. I'm realizing now. I watch Wedding Crashers the most out of the three. So I'm going to tie that knot, get on a knee, mm-hmm. romantic setting in the background, and live forever and ever with Wedding Crashers. I'm going to say bye-bye to Step Brothers, unfortunately, and have a one-night stand with Superbad.
Yeah, I like that. Who wants to go next? Al?
Oh, I'll say, forever be Wedding Crashers for me, because Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson combo is hard to beat. And I'll watch Step Brothers one more time. I'll watch him let the dog crap. That's a great scene. And then yeah, super, I can do without that.
Interesting. Aswin?
Man, Al, we are in lockstep there, right? Once for me is Step Brothers. And I love all three of these movies. Let me make that very clear. Mm-hmm. Once for me is Step Brothers. Forever is Wedding Crashers. And it kills me because I do love Superbad, and I find myself quoting it often. But Superbad would be the never here. And that pains me to say. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That pains me.
Happy? We're all on different. I'm on different pages than all of you.
I feel like all these movies are just so good that it's making it so difficult. I'm sure all of you guys have seen these movies at least over 20 times a piece, like I have myself.
Yeah. These are all like whenever they're on, you just watch it.
So yeah. So this is extremely tough for me, but I'm going to once Superbad. And this is terrible for me that I'm going to do this, but I'm gonna never Wedding Crashers, and I'm gonna never Wedding Crashers because that is the movie that I've seen the most, and I think that I'm kind of like, if I see it again, I'd be like, eh. And then Step Brothers, I'm gonna forever.
Wow. Okay. So I'm different than all you guys. I'm marrying fucking Superbad. It's my favorite movie of all time, and I'm killing Step Brothers, and I'll do Wedding Crashers as my once. Like I think Step Brothers is actually. Like, I love that movie, but I think it's like the most overrated movie of all time.
Strictly 80s Joel doesn't do it for you?
No, it does. I think it's hilarious, but I think like people say Step Brothers is like the best movie ever. Like, I think it's, I don't know, I think that might be a little bit of a stretch.
How different would your list be if the movie Old School was included in the options?
Oh, well, which are you taking out?
Out your kill, whichever one you kill, you're going to take out.
Yeah, it pretty much. I couldn't kill Old School. Old School might be if it was in here, Old School might end up being my forever. I love that movie so much.
Interesting. Yeah.
I would still forever Wedding Crashers, and then I'd once Old School, and I'd have to, you know, never do Superbad.
You my boy Blue?
I think Superbad is our generation's Animal House, honestly.
It's fair.
Maybe that's just me.
No, that's fair. I like it.
All right, so that was a good try at the new segment. like we said, the title is, you know, not set in stone. It's a working title. So if anyone has any ideas, like, hopefully you got what we were going for. We kind of want to do the fuck, kill, marries, but like with funny, different kind of relatable topics, not just like people. So if anyone has any ideas, like, feel free to DM us, because I thought it was really smart, but maybe it sounded really stupid.
No, I mean, I think it'll be a good idea. Definitely catch on more. So I kind of fucked up a little bit before, but I definitely love the idea. I think what screwed me was I was just so in love with all three of those movies that like it caught me so like I blanked. I needed to do a little more research into it. But boys, before we get into this wonderful interview with Lindsay Metzler, I do want to talk about our lovely sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. And Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy for big cash prizes. On Underdog Fantasy, you just draft. No need to worry about waivers, lineups, or injuries. Underdog handles it all for you. Go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app. Draft a season-long best ball team, and that's it. No in-season management. They're going to give you $25 when you sign up, so you could take a free shot at a $1 million grand prize in their fantasy football tournament. That's right. You get a $25 in bonus cash on Underdog Fantasy if you use our code LOTKA when you make your first deposit. I love Underdog because it's just so easy to use. The mobile app is slick. The website is user-friendly. So do what I've been doing. Go to underdogfantasy.com, join a league, draft a team, and that's it. You're good for the season. Remember, that's underdogfantasy.com, the App Store or the Google Play Store. Sign up with our code LOTKA and get free $25 in bonus cash. Besides that, boys, I think we kick it over to our wonderful interview with Lindsay Metzler.
We're very excited to welcome back a now recurring guest on the podcast, the host of We Met at Acme, our friend, Lindsay Metzler. Lindsay, it's great to see you again. It's been a long time.
Thanks, Johnny. It's great to be back. How many recurring guests do you guys have, just out of curiosity?
I think you're like our fourth number, now.
Or, is it four?
Maybe. No. I really thought that I was going to be like the only recurring guest, but whatever. It's fine.
Well, you're special. Definitely in our top five. That's for sure.
What about like the first recurring girl?
You are the first Yeah, I think you are. Think about it. Yeah.
Okay, great.
I think you are. Yay. You'll take that title.
I'll take it.
But we are recording the day after your We Met at Acme event. This episode actually won't air for like 2 weeks, so it's going to be a little delayed. But how'd the event go? One of my friends, Ben Scharf, was there. I told him I'd give him a shout out. You know, how'd it go? And can you tell us like what it was?
Shout out to Ben. It was really fun. So basically, I launched a matchmaking service, which is like a wing of We Met at Acme. And it's called We Matched at Acme. And we have people who signed up for matchmaking. And so we did this event at Ludlow House, which is technically like a private members club. Mm-hmm. But we were allotted a certain amount of spots for non-members. So I reached out to the people I matchmake and I was like, hey, come to this event, you know, before anyone else does. And we got some of those guys in and girls in. And essentially we did like a 30-minute podcast in the beginning and then we opened it to like everyone mingling. And I was really nervous. I feel like every time I do one of these events, I'm like, it's only gonna be girls. Like, what if no guys show up? But guys showed up thanks to Ben and his friends. And it was really, really fun. I feel like people definitely did end up mingling. And we had some like conversation starters around the room, like some icebreaker questions. So it was good.
Why do you think that? Why do you think it's always harder to get guys in situations like this when it comes to like dating rather than girls?
Great question. And I know why, but you guys tell me as guys. I feel like guys don't like to like admit that they're like needing help to like meet people or look for people. Like they are the least likely to be like, oh, I'm going to go to this like singles event, like this like mixer, you know, like, because like they don't need to, they can just go on an app or whatever. And it's vulnerable. And I think like people have trouble in vulnerable spaces, but women are just like generally better with vulnerability.
That's so true. I feel like if I go up to my boys and I'm like, hey guys, like got a really cool singles event tonight. You guys want to go?
But exactly. They'd be like, what the fuck, compared
to like, compared to obviously girls, man, like, yeah, like singles event. I feel like most girls would find that definitely more interesting than guys.
That's right. Sure. And I feel like girls like more outwardly are open about wanting to meet someone and guys are just like, well, if it happens, it happens.
Exactly. I mean, that's literally how I am. So like, that's how I met my girlfriend. Like I wasn't really looking for a girlfriend. It just kind of happened. So like, I mean, I would still have gone to the event though with my girlfriend if we're invited next time, if you
of course
are allowed to have a significant other there.
But you have to pretend that you met at the event and by the end of the event be like kissing and no one will know.
What we'll do, we'll break up like a week prior and then we'll get back together at the event and it'll be like a great story.
Perfect.
Be great press for you.
Perfect.
On that note, when we had you on like a year ago, I was like just learning about, you know, your podcast and you, and because I was with my girlfriend for, you know, 7 weeks in quarantine and I was doing all the polls. But, you know, now a year later, I've kind of gotten to like know you, I feel like, just through the podcast and through interacting, you know, on social media and stuff. But I learned so much about myself, like through your podcast and stuff. And the videos you post with like the four things, like I find very relatable, honestly. And sometimes I'm like, fuck, that's me. Like, that's not good. But You know, one thing that I think is funny that I kind of want to bring up to you, my love language, which I just learned was like 2 months ago, I never knew what a love language was, is physical touch. And I tell all my friends, like, whenever I'm going to fight with my girlfriend, if we have sex, the fight's over. Like, what, like, so what do you think about that? Is that like kind of how you end arguments with your boyfriend sometimes? Because you talk about it a lot on the podcast.
There's no way that's healthy.
Well, no, I don't think it's like, you know, that sex like finishes, like, you know, changes the argument or solves the argument. But I think it's the idea of like closeness and affection that makes you like forget that you had any, you know, negative feelings. And I think physical touch doesn't have to just be sex. Like, it could be your girlfriend just grabbing you and like giving you a hug or like making out with you or something, you know? And I think that like, that's totally normal. And that's similar to us. Like, if we have a fight and then like, we don't have sex, like, I'm like,
yeah,
you're still mad, you know?
Yeah. Same. That's the same vibe I get.
Yeah.
I also loved the episode. I forgot your boyfriend's name, but I loved when he was on. Like, he is so knowledgeable, honestly, and he was super relatable also. Can you please like have him on more?
I'm dying to. He's literally in the other room. I wonder if he's listening, but I literally beg him to come back on all the time. He's so great. His name is Steven, by the way. Steven. And he just like, I mean, it's, I'm sure that I will get him back on, but I think it was like, you know, it was a lot for him. Like, all the girls at his office like listen to the podcast and like they like, it's like people like who might like work for him, and it's like weird like hearing, you know.
Well, I'm also curious too, are you battling now, like, you know, you have a dating podcast, but now you're in like a very good relationship. It's been, you know, almost over a year, and as someone who now listens to you and I need like couples advice, are you gonna like maybe transition into like actual couples advice as opposed to, you know, more of the dating stuff?
Yeah. So, well, actually it's been a year and a half, which is crazy because it feels like it's been 2 seconds. But I would love to transition, but I also want to continue to like appeal to everyone. So like in an ideal situation, we still have like guests who are single, you know, every so often, but it's like a dating and relationships podcast. And so like, I will continue to be like open about my relationship. Like, it's not like I'm going to like, let's say like I have a kid, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, my kid's like a piece of shit, you know, but like, I'm still going to like be open about like, you know, struggles of like, let's say motherhood or struggles of marriage or wherever my life is at that moment. I feel like, and like a lot of our listeners are like from like our OG listeners who are like at those ages where they're now like married or have kids or whatever. Mm. And so I hope that like people will still be able to relate to it.
I feel like it's hard, especially in your position and like with your like dating podcast and it doing so well and stuff like that, to have a significant other, and especially in a serious relationship. I feel like you can like sometimes get into some arguments with some of the stuff you post, especially early on in your relationship. Like, they don't understand or have the same mindset that you do. You know what
100%.
I mean?
100%. And I feel like with my partner not being on social media, like, it's not as much of an issue. But like early on, like, we definitely would get in fights because I would, like, before we were official, I would like ask a poll question instead of talking to him about something. And then like, it would get back to him like through his friends, and he'd be like, wait, like, you clearly this is about us, or clearly this is about you. Like, if you're mad about something, just tell me. But it is interesting. And like, I feel like a lot of female podcasters especially like deal with this issue. A lot of podcast hosts that I know of, like, Alex from Call Her Daddy, like, has a boyfriend now, and my friend Raina from Girls Gotta Eat has a boyfriend now. And it's interesting to see like the transitions, but I also at the same time, I'm like, if these women, like, including myself, didn't ever like get into a relationship, but they were giving dating advice, I would be probably even more sus about that. Yeah. Like, how are you not learning from your own advice and like falling for somebody, you know?
Yeah. And especially with like somebody like Alex and Call Her Daddy, like, even more so, like, just because like what her podcast is kind of based off of and like the genre that it goes in, like, to have a boyfriend, like, somebody's got to have some absolute cojones to be her boyfriend and just have some like seriously though, like, you got to have some, like, basically some some thick skin. We were talking about this yesterday, that was the word I was using for it, but seriously, it's a tough position to be in.
Totally. Yeah. It's definitely, it weeds out the people who are not confident. And I've dealt with that in like past relationships. And you can really tell when someone's like faking being okay with it versus actually okay with it.
I actually want to piggyback on that too, because like one of the things that I struggle with most in like my relationship with my girlfriend is boundaries. Like I'm an open book, like Cappy will tell you. I tell my parents too much, and I tell my sister is like my best friend. I tell her everything. Like it's almost a problem. My parents could probably name half the people I've actually had sex with. But like for me, I was just always so open with my parents, and like my girlfriend knows if something ever happens, like my parents are going to find out. So sometimes like, you know, my mom will bring something up that we fought about at dinner. I'm like, Mom, shut the fuck up. Like, you know, but how do you handle that? Because you literally have a podcast talking about your relationship. I'm sure there's got to be some boundary issues with you too. Now, like what advice would you give me?
That's really funny, because I feel like if I were your girlfriend, I would kill you.
Yeah. For telling she'll kill parents. Me for just saying it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I would be like, are you like, discuss it with me. I actually feel like, so I don't like I probably discuss more with my listeners than I do with like my family in terms of like my relationship, which is a really interesting kind of weird thing. But it's because like I still have this like weird thing in the back of my head where I feel like no one listens. Mm-hmm. Like it's like this weird voice telling me like no one's listening. So like yeah. Say whatever you want, you know? And it kind of feels like that when you have a podcast, you know, because like you're just talking into the abyss. So that's why there's like no pressure. So you end up saying all this stuff because no one's like on the other end being like judgmental about it. And then, and it ends up being like this weird release. So like, I feel like, I mean, not saying that you should do that. Obviously, if you get more from like talking to your family who knows you best, then that's what you should do. But I would say I talk most about that stuff to like my listeners on episodes or to my therapist probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if she'd be happier if I was telling all of our listeners instead of my parents. She might now think better of it if my mom makes a comment every
now and then. Well, you could tell a therapist.
Yeah, that's true too.
How often do you think you get like shit on by people basically for like the posts you make? Let's say like the four things that they usually post on Instagram. Like how often do you get people saying like, I used your methods and it didn't work. My boyfriend ended it with me, or like, you know what I mean?
That's really funny. I would say like 1 out of 3. Get like some mean comments, but it's surprisingly, it's never, I did your methods and my boyfriend broke up. Like that's the one thing, like people are like, it always works. It always works. But like, I hate you. I hate your face. I hate your voice. I think
why
that
it's right.
Like, yeah, it's just something about like me that they don't like.
I submitted something on the story, I think like yesterday or 2 days ago, for you to talk about in your solo for next week. But this episode is going to air after this trip, but I'm actually going on vacation with my girlfriend and her family for like the first time ever to Italy for like 9 days. So I need to know what are some do's and some don'ts for me going on my first ever significant other family trip.
Great question. And for some reason, I don't think I talked about that on mine. So I'm glad you're bringing it up now so we can cover it. Do something. Wait, it's with your family or with her family?
No, with her family.
Okay. Definitely do something. Like plan to get them some sort of gift post trip in addition to like paying for something that isn't so crazy, like a lunch or something. Mm-hmm. Right. But like sneakily, like, so that like the bill, they ask for the bill and they're like, oh, like this, you know, this gentleman took care of it or something.
It's funny that you said that, because I once tried at dinner and I handed like the hostess the card prior to sitting down, and the hostess brought it to the table before we even ordered and said like, this won't work. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? You just ruined everything.
Oh my God, I would kill. I would kill.
But it's also like typical of me to fuck something up like that. So they kind of like,
that's unbelievable.
I mean, I kind of blame the hostess, but
yeah,
like definitely do something like that. I would say don't have any fights with her in front of her parents. Like don't like disagree with her unless like you can do it in a way that like makes them like you more. Cause it's like a smart disagreement. Don't like have sex if you guys are sharing like a room, like, you know, like a conjoining room, like just don't have like loud sex, like just be like smart about it. Do the payment stuff. Do like use it as an opportunity to get closer with her family, like be really helpful, like go out and get whatever somebody needs. Like, you know, you are the one that like is the guest, but you're also the one that's like trying to impress the most. And so like, just, you like make it so that at the end of the trip, they're like, oh my God, Johnny has to come on every trip. Like, we can't have a trip without him.
Johnny needs to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Wait, what do you think of this idea? I just told Cappy prior, but every picture that she forced me to take of her, like, you know, obviously we're going on a nice vacation. I'm going to be forced to take pictures of her, you know, looking good with the app. What, you're telling me to not say it?
I'm saying say it, but I'm so against this.
Oh, well, every picture I take of my girlfriend, she's going to have to take the same exact picture of me doing the pose that she was doing to like feel that like, you know, Instagram boyfriend kind of thing.
Well, because you actually want to post them or you're just like trolling her?
Might post them as a troll.
Like, oh, that's funny.
I might like because obviously, you know, she's going to post an Instagram after the trip. I might post the exact same thing.
Well, there's this TikTok trend going around right now. And it's like basically like this song. And I'll send you an example of it where like these women and guys are doing it too, are like recreating photos that their partner took on Instagram and kind of like mocking them.
Oh, that's okay.
So, I mean, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
That's but exactly you have to do it in video form. I'll send you the video and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not like huge on TikTok, but I check it out every day.
But definitely don't be like complaining when she asks you to take photos, you know? Yeah. Be a good Instagram boyfriend in front of her parents.
I'm not good at the picture thing. She yells at me all the time, but I do try. So
you'll have to try extra on this trip.
Yeah.
Lindsay, I like one of your don'ts because I feel like I can relate to that a lot. The one where you kind of said like, don't disagree with her, but unless her parents or her dad is like doing that to like kind of like jump on the dad side and get a little dad bondage there, you know?
Exactly. Like you can disagree in a way that shows that you're not like a pushover kind of boyfriend. Like you're not like a simp, as they say, right? Like you could be like advocating for her. Like if her dad's like, Ellie, will you please like make your bed? Like the housekeeper's not coming today. And she's like, no, dad. Like you could be like, Ellie, listen to your dad. Let's make your bed, you know?
Well, it's okay. You're hitting great points because I don't make my bed ever in the morning and she always does. Mm. And I judge her for it and she judges me for it. So do you make your bed every day?
I do. And I think you need to as well.
Okay. Why do you think I should?
There's like a statistic about like you are 10 times more likely to not be depressed if you make your bed every day or something.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, I could definitely agree with that. I mean, I don't make my bed either.
Yeah, what? There's no way you make your bed.
No. Like when I'm living by myself and like when I'm away, like hockey, like I don't make my bed like when I wake up from practice. But now that I'm back home in Florida and I'm living at my girlfriend's apartment, like if I leave after her, like I'm making sure I make the bed because if she comes home before me and the bed's not made, I'm getting absolutely crucified.
I do that. Yeah. I make her bed for her, but not mine.
Yes, exactly.
But you should make your own too, like self-care yourself because it really does feel good when you go back into your bed and you're like, oh damn, like am I living at a hotel? Like this looks nice, you know?
Here's my problem though, and I've stayed in about a million hotels, which I'm sure you have as well. I'm the person who has to untuck the blankets from the outside because I can't sleep like trapped underneath the blanket. So like when I make the bed, I'm throwing everything off at night when I go to sleep anyway.
And that's fine, but it's just like a little extra effort to untuck, you know?
Agreed. Does your boyfriend make his bed every day?
Yeah, he does. Well, we live together. So, yes.
So he fucking better.
But I wonder if he did before. Babe.
Yeah, bring Steven in here.
Did you make your bed before, when you lived alone? He did it. He did it.
I love him. I knew I loved him.
You're trash. You are trash.
I knew I liked
Steven. Why, though?
See? That's another topic. Big topic.
That's crazy.
What did he say when you said why?
Guys are gross. Why? Can you tell us why? Because he didn't need to.
Yeah.
Probably because he would nap. Reason. Like he would just get back into it and nap like all the time. Probably.
Well, have you seen Along Came Polly?
Yes.
You know, when Ben Stiller like fucking stabs the throat pillows, like you're wasting 10 minutes out of your day by making your bed. And then Jennifer Aniston, you know, does that whole scene.
Yeah, that's really funny.
And I think since I saw that when I was 8 years old, I was like, you know what? Why should I make my bed every day? Sounds like a waste of time. So that's my approach. We're allowed to disagree. You disagree on your podcast. So we disagree on ours.
Fine. Yeah.
Never mind. Your bed.
So I have a very interesting question for you.
Okay.
If there was a remake of the movie Hitch in like today's era, who would you want to be like the main cast, you know, the Eva Mendes, the Will Smith, and what do you think the plot would really kind of be? Because you can't really, I mean, you kind of can do the matchmaking stuff that way, but I feel like it's just changed so much since that movie came out.
Well, I'd like to think that it's kind of like what I am practicing, which is like, I will do these dating profile consultations. And so I think that's what it would become today. Like, instead of doing the in-person dating coaching, it would be like coaching someone on a dating app. Like, here's what you should be saying. Here's what your profile should look like. And almost like Hitch would be like taking over the actual conversations itself. Mm-hmm. And like walking through what they're saying with the person. In terms of who would play who.
Who would you want? I mean, it doesn't have to be like, you know, who fits the role best.
I think, I'm trying to think, because it's like Will Smith, right? Was Hitch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, no one has that swag like Will Smith. Like, he's just like the ultimate. So let me think.
Okay.
Let me think, and I'll get back to you by the end.
Okay. And I do want to piggyback on that also and ask you about like the next, do you have younger listeners, like, you know, in like the 18 to 21 range, or is it mostly like, you know, 25 to 30?
We do. And it's hard because it's like the older listeners hate the younger listeners and like vice versa. Like, they both want to hear about a certain thing and they don't want to hear about like, well, actually that's not true. I would say the younger listeners like also are down to hear about what it's like to date a 30-year-old guy, but the older listeners aren't down to hear about like post-college life, you know?
But your interactions must be insanely different from the young, like the younger listeners.
So different. And I can tell in 2 seconds when it's a younger listener, because they're like, they opened my Snapchat and I'm like, no, stop, break up with him.
I was going to say, do you think the next generation is like totally screwed when it comes to the dating thing? Because even, you know, people my age and even like 2 years younger than me, like we're still like kind of in that like social media era, but like we kind of, you know, social media came to be when we were in like 11th, you know, 10th, 12th grade. So like it didn't consume our lives, but I feel like the people younger than us, it's all just like one big game and one big act.
It's really concerning, like how obsessed they are, but I'd like to think there's still some like gems in there that like aren't, and still like do their own thing. I really don't think the Snapchat stuff is healthy. Like, I'm pretty shocked that like they're not growing out of it. Like, there's like 26-year-olds who are Snapchatting still, and I'm like, what's why? Like, okay, that's how they're communicating.
Well, can you please elaborate? Because I'm 25 and Justin's turning 26, and we definitely use Snapchat a lot.
Well, I just think that like Snapchat is fine to like the purpose of Snapchat, for in my opinion, is to send like ugly pictures to your friends, and you're like, look at me being ugly, or like shitting or whatever.
Interesting. We are shitting.
Like I like I
yeah
I would never use it to like communicate with somebody that I like, because I feel like it gets to like the lines get blurred and someone gets hurt no matter what. Like, because you could tell if someone opens it, if someone screenshots it, if they don't respond to it, you know, it's like, I don't like like people who communicate only on Snapchat or only on DM. I feel like that's like bad territory. Like everyone has the text function. So like, I don't get it.
And you know, it's, oh, sorry, Cap, you want to go?
No, I was going to say, I agree to a certain sense for sure. Like I use Snapchat, but I'm not like in the stage of like where I was back in college, where it was keeping snap streaks with my buddies, you know, waking up every morning, making sure that snap streak. And then from like a communicating with like my girlfriend standpoint, like it was more so like back in the day, it was like, oh, like you broke my snap streak. You broke the snap streak. Like, oh my God. But communicating through text is just so much easier. And I agree with you in the sense of like, it could start so many more arguments through Snapchat.
So for me, like my side, when I was single, and the advantage of Snapchat when you are single, and this might sound like kind of a fucked up thing, but Snapchat, you can kind of like put a feeler out and send it to like multiple people. Like, let's say, you know, when I was in college and I wanted to like try to get a girl to come over, I would, you know, send out a Snapchat and send it to like 6 different girls. And at that point, it's like kind of a numbers game. So for single people, like I completely understand why Snapchat's such an amazing thing, as opposed to, you know, you're not going to text 6 separate girls and be like, hey, come over. Cause then you have to have 6 conversations, you know?
Yeah. Fair. Okay. Okay. I thought of my Hitch people.
Okay. Hit us.
Okay. I think the person who played Eva Mendes should be Zendaya.
Yes, ooh, I like that.
It's a good one.
Because I really love her. Mm-hmm. And I think that the guy who played, what was his name? The like the bigger guy,
Albert Brenneman.
Love him. Yeah. Yes, I think. Sorry, the sound went out. I'm trying to find out all their names because I'm so old that I literally don't remember their names.
I think Josh Gad would be a good one.
Oh, Josh Gad would be good, but he's like kind of older.
Is he? He's not as old as Kevin James, though. Kevin James is like...
No, you're right. I mean, I love Zac Efron. Like, I'm a sucker for Zac Efron.
They also have amazing chemistry from The Showman.
Yes. You know who could also play Hitch character? Who? Or Albert Brenneman's character, depending on his range?
Uh-huh.
Cousin Greg from Succession.
Never seen it.
Okay. He's like... He kind of is like this nerdy, tall... So like instead of him being like short and fat, he's like nerdy and tall and needs help, you know. Mm. He could be like the Albert Brenneman.
Lanky guys are in these days, I thought. Hitch
could be, yes, very in. But like but he's very nerdy. Like he's like got a nerdy look. And then maybe Zac Efron or like someone a little bit younger, a little bit cooler.
I got my Hitch.
Yeah, tell me. I need help.
Oh, no, wait, I just had
what? You sounded so confident.
No, I did. I'm drawing a blank here. Oh, yeah, sorry, Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah, love him. But, like, he's the same age as Will Smith.
He's older, for sure.
No, I know. But I feel like just from, like, a swag standpoint.
Zendaya was really good.
Zendaya's a lock-in, and I just don't know about the others. Like, maybe... Timothy Chalamet, could he be one?
He'd be a good one. I'm trying to think who Allegra Cole would be. Like, who's like a young, who's, I don't know who Allegra Cole would be, but.
While we're on the topic of shows and movies, though, real quick, I want to put you guys both on this. I don't know if you guys both have HBO Max or can get it, but the White Lotus.
I've heard about this.
Laz, especially because you're going on vacation, you need to put this on tonight and just watch an episode. It is like, it's so good. It's just basically about like a bunch of different couples. Lindsay, this is like perfect for you too. Bunch of different like couples in different stages of their like, kind of like in different stages of their relationships. One's engaged, you know, some, and there's like a family on vacation, whatever it is. And it's just awkward situations in some different scenarios. And they're all at this like vacation club. I'm really bad at explaining it, but go watch the trailer for it. There's so many people, like famous people in it. Alexandra Daddario, Jake Lacy, Jennifer Coolidge, the mom from American Pie.
That sounds Connie. Great. I think I'm gonna watch it tonight. We've been watching Succession, but I would love to take a break and watch it because I've been hearing a lot about it.
Watch it with your boyfriend too. I watched it with my girlfriend Court, and she's like not a movie show person at all, and she's like obsessed.
Yeah, no, I definitely am gonna check it out tonight.
Thanks I was talking that. About today. Did Big Little Lies stop? Is that show over?
I'm not sure.
I think it went for like two seasons. And like, what else can they come up with in like this very white suburban town? Like another murder. Like, I think it's just, you know, it's like played out. But I wouldn't be surprised if they came out with a season three, and I would definitely watch it.
Yeah, I thought that show was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
So I got one more question for you before we go into like our speed round, Matzo Ball Minute. But are you a sports girl or no? Like, is your boyfriend, is Steven, into sports?
He is, but more so in like the exciting moment. Like, obviously what we watched, the
NBA Greek finals
basketball player. Yeah, exactly.
The Greek and, freak.
Like, we'll watch like, you know, like we watched the Olympic swimming and whatever, but we went to the Knick game when we were doing really well, he's not like an every night, like sports and beer on the couch kind of guy. I like sports. I love sporting events, but like I would never watch a sport unless it was like the Olympics and fun.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. I was curious just because I feel like you kind of do know sports a little bit.
I do a little bit. My dad loves sports. Mm-hmm. And actually I loved like my favorite sport to go to a game of was hockey.
Really? Oh, I think we talked about this last time we had you on because you went to BU, right?
Yeah, there's nothing like a hockey game because people just get so rowdy. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Definitely one of the best amazing out there for sure. But let's get into a little Matzo Ball Minute action. I know you love this from last time.
Let's
start you off with this one. What is your favorite hobby aside from what we see on your social media?
Great question. Recently... Oh, but I share that on social, so I can't say that.
That's okay. You can
is
share
there anything
that
you don't? Yeah. Is there anything you don't share about your life, or is everything pretty much on there?
Not really. Like, I don't, I'm not one to like cry into the camera, really. I just, I don't, it's not like my thing.
Yeah.
I try to be a good plant mom, but like all my plants die. So I don't really share that because it's just like embarrassing. Everything else I share. And so I've been doing like this nail art recently.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
That's coming back. I see a lot of girls like designing their nails and stuff.
I feel like it is. I feel like it is. It's having a mom.
Well, so besides being a part-time botanist, you have been just creating nails in your free time.
Love nail art. I mean, I have like the food Instagram stuff. Like I love like going to try like new food places. I also love playing this one card game. It's called 313.
Never heard of it. What is it?
13.
I'm so bad at explaining how it works, but you need to look it up and play it with your friends. You just need two decks of cards and it's really fun.
I want to give you one off the top of my head. When was the last time you were like truly out of your comfort zone?
Such a good question. I went to a women's dinner the other night. And it was like all these really powerful, successful women. And it wasn't that I was like out of my comfort zone, but it was like a very like stripped of like all of our egos, like really like a moment to be vulnerable with one another. And it felt like that. And it felt like we all just like really opened up to one another. And it was very much like what you hear stays here, because we were just all like really vulnerable about our relationships and like questioning our careers and life and, you know, whatever. So it was really good. But also that made me think, Johnny, you need to learn this card game for your trip with your girlfriend's family, because it will be so fun. And if you teach them this card game, they will love you forever because it is so great.
I will. 313 it's called.
313. Oh, 313. I'll send you the directions after.
Yeah, you got a lot of shit to send me after this.
I do.
Thinking of Eminem there. Not everybody from the 313.
That's what I was thinking of.
I know. All right, Lindsay, if you could have been the ages of 15 to 25 in any decade of history, which decade would you pick?
I think the 20s.
Really?
I'm really bad with history, but whichever one where they wore the corsets that were like really tight on the waist.
Is that Gatsby?
Was it Gatsby?
The Gatsby area? I don't know if it was the Gatsby area.
That's like the Roaring 20s, like the speakeasies and shit.
No? Yeah, like, yeah, where the women wear like the corsets and like are like hotter if they're like a little bigger. Like, I think that's like great. I'm like, I'll just like eat and wear a corset like just all day, you know?
That's a good answer.
That is. Top three places you'd want to bachelorette or honeymoon.
Those are two completely different things.
Well, yeah, you can give us maybe one of each.
Okay,
maybe.
Bachelorette, Miami, like St. Bart's, or
on a yacht in Miami sounds nice.
Yeah, that sounds epic. Or like, I don't know, like
what's a wild card one?
Like Bermuda or like some other random island. Honeymoon. Oh, like Bora Bora.
Uh-huh. Come on, there's no way you haven't thought about this ever.
No, I have.
Yeah, you have a list on your phone or something.
Bora Bora, Italy.
All right, let me get the list out.
Or just like all around Europe, like all the places.
Yeah, I love that.
Hitting all spots.
Last one for you. What is the most weirded out situation you've ever been in with a guy?
I feel like so many. Weirded out by him or like by myself.
Just anything, like you were just so, like there's the situation you were in was just so weird.
Could like, be get me the fuck out of him.
Yeah, could be to do with the situation you guys were a part of. Could be anything. Should have done this one first so you could think about it.
I know. But hopefully we can cut the thinking.
Yeah, we'll cut the thinking.
I think I guess I was in one situation with a guy once who had a girlfriend but was like aggressively hitting on me. And we were at a wedding and he was aggressively hitting on me and I was like not interested. I think I was in a relationship too at the time, but he kept referencing like his girlfriend was at the wedding, but she was sick in their room. Like she had food poisoning And he just kept referencing, like, my girlfriend's in our room with food poisoning. Like, he just, like, you know, like, you knew where he was going with it.
Yeah.
And
where's he going with that? I have no idea.
He's going, like, oh, never, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, she's in the room. Oh, like,
I thought you meant, like, he was inviting you up to, like, have a threesome or something. That's what I thought.
And no, but that also happened to me once at a wedding.
Sorry.
But yeah, and I was just like, yeah, no, like, I hope she feels better.
You're so brave. So Lindsay, just to wrap things up, since we've had you on before, I kind of want to ask you something different. What has changed the most about you in the last year of the pandemic, and like, what have you like really seen change about yourself?
I think what has changed about me is really like my priorities, and I think a lot of people feel this way post-pandemic. Like, I'm definitely not like the first one to feel this way, but just like, it's like, I know it's like the couple of friends, you know, like five friends that I care about, my family and like my partner and my work. And like, that's like literally it. And just like stripped down. Like, I used to just do so much for so many people that like, I just didn't care about. And I think just like spread myself so thin, and I still do that. Like, I'm not innocent, but I think I just realized like what to prioritize and who like really cares about me and who I really care about. So that has changed. And I think also just like my relationship has become like such a big part of my life, because like, I really do care about this person. Like, in the past, my relationship was just like, you know, relationships to me were just like, oh, it's like, I have my like boyfriend, I have my friends. And it's like, the way that I'm looking at this one, it's more like, wow, like, this is so important to me. Like, it is something that like, I need to like actively be like working on myself to like be in, as opposed to just like, oh, if they don't like that about me, that's on them, you know? And I think that like changes as you start to take that relationship seriously to like, hopefully, you know, go to the next level. And so that's been a learning process for me, because I'm very much the type to be like, this is the way I am. If you don't like it, then get over it. But like, I've learned to look more within.
No, that's honestly great advice, because I know me and Cappy, like, that's how we are. I'm the way, like, if you don't like me, it sucks for you, you know?
But yeah. And it's not like I'm changing for you, but it's like, okay, if this negative thing that I do isn't working, I should probably change that.
Yeah. It's funny. We talked about this lately last night, Cappy and I.
What's your fatal flaws?
Fatal flaws?
What's your like thing that like, you're like, oh, that's who I am, you know?
I think I get pissed too easily. I think I have a short temper, and I have zero patience for bullshit.
You'll find mine. I feel like you'll relate to my girlfriend on this. I don't plan anything. Like, I'm not a good planner. I'm more of like a go with the flow kind of guy. So like, you know, we're going to Italy, and my girlfriend has like an entire itinerary for us, because like, I probably wouldn't have. I mean, it's also her family vacation, but you know, I'm happy to go somewhere and just kind of figure it out, as opposed to, you know, someone who like will make like 10 reservations and like kind of have the day ready. So I need to like definitely work on that a little bit. You know, I've always just like found myself as more of a go with the flow. So I've never like found the need to do it, but I probably should figure that out, because it does bother, you know, her a little bit and other people.
I'm also like you, Lindsay, in the sense of like, I think a lot of things are wrong when they're not, a lot of times. Like, I always think something's wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm good at that.
Yeah.
Were those respectable answers? I think so. I feel like now
really
we're
good.
I feel like now we're in therapy.
Now we're in therapy. Welcome.
We needed this.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if we asked you last time, just before we wrap up, but because you came, I listened to the episode like last week just to kind of prepare a little bit, and you asked us our zodiacs, but I don't know if we ever asked you yours. I know you ask it on your show all the time.
I mean, does it mean anything to you?
No, probably not. But maybe the people. Uh-huh.
I'm a Libra.
Mm-hmm. Which means,
so Johnny, if I remember correctly, you're an Aries.
Yes. Wow. Good memory.
And that's the opposite of an Aries. So Libras are like, I'll do a comparison Libra and Aries so that you kind of understand. So Libras are more likely to like think about doing something for a while before actually doing it and weighing like the pros and cons. Whereas like an Aries is spontaneous, like, I'm doing this now and I'll think about it later.
Yeah.
a Libra is like, has like a lot of friends and is really social, and like Aries, like only choose like a select few and like are really loyal to them. I would say Libras are very like balanced. Like everything in their life has to be, I don't know, like going really well. Like, and they want everyone to like them all the time. But like usually Aries like don't care what people think, like that. And then like obviously there's so many great qualities of a Libra, like we're charming and you know, like we love beauty and looks and whatever. Kim Kardashian's a Libra, if that's context for you.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That's awesome. But yeah, is there any anything you want to plug before we let you go? You know, your food accounts.
Oh my God, everything. I could literally plug for like the next 20 minutes. Go. No, definitely follow We Met at Acme, listen to our podcast, listen to these guys on our podcast, and definitely come to our mixer. And
when's the next one? Do you know?
Think it's going to be sometime in September, but you can go to wemetatacme.com and sign up for newsletter and find out more.
All right. Sounds good. But we love you. Thank you so much for coming on. You're obviously going to come on again at some point, hopefully, if you are down to do that, because you're always
welcome.
Thank
you, guys. It would be an honor and a privilege.
Of course. Right. Thank you, Lindsay.
And I'll let you know how the vacation goes.
Please do.
Next week on The Locker Room. Yeah, Laz's exactly. Vacation now. Thanks, Lindsay. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. We hope you guys loved that interview with Lindsay Metzler. I feel like every time she comes on, we have such a good time. I really honestly don't know, like, every time we always, like, have a game plan of, like, what we you know, want to talk about. But I feel like every time we talk to her, we always, like, get off topic and always, like, go into deep on, like, some shit, which I love. Like, we always have a great conversation. But it was so great to have her on for the second time, you know, another recurring guest, just because we love her that much.
And stay tuned, because we might be making an appearance on We Met at Acme in the near future. I'm not sure if we're allowed to say that, but I don't think it's a big deal. But yeah, well, hopefully we're making an appearance on there. So, you know, Cappy and I can dive into our love lives on a different platform. But yeah, no, we love Lindsay. She's awesome. And she'll be back on again, I'm sure, in the near future, because it's always a good time talking to her. Really happy she was able to come on. And hopefully, you know, like I said, we'll be making an appearance on her show, because that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm not only interested, I'm a little nervous.
Honestly, I'm a little nervous too, honestly. Yeah.
She's you know, like, obviously Laz and I have been on like a couple other shows. Laz obviously has the, you know, the other podcast with the Rangers, but Lindsay's like her podcast is very serious. Obviously, it's very well known. She's got a big following. And you know, she talks about relationship shit and stuff like that. So who knows what the hell she's gonna ask us, but it's gonna be cool.
I'm afraid to get judged.
oh, shut up, dude. You're the last person.
Yeah, I don't really care if anyone judges me, but like, no, but like, dude, I like, we've been doing this for like, you know, a year and a half now, and I still talk to you, and I don't really think about, like, Lindsay kind of mentioned this too, I don't think about other people listening to us. So like, you know, no one's really ever like reached out to me and said like, dude, that's a fucking terrible opinion or whatever, but I'm scared that might happen someday, you know? Because like, I just feel so bad if I offended somebody.
Here it is. It's happening.
Yeah, it's happening already. We're making it happen in our minds.
Exactly.
But you know what's good for that fear? Our sponsor, Mindset Wellness CBD. Like we talk about every episode, they're a brand new full-spectrum CBD company infused with terpenes and vitamins that can provide all natural anxiety relief. They actually just came out with the new Total Mindset, which has all the mindsets in one. So it's happy, calm, focus, health, and rest in the gummy form, which is my favorite. All five flavors right here. I love Mindset Wellness. I took them in Italy almost every day just to stay calm and be happy and, you know, kind of leave all my stresses. So go to mindsetwellnesscbd.com and use our code LOCKA10 for 10% off with free shipping. That's LOCKA10, LATKE 10. And check them out on Instagram at mindsetwellnesscbd. I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Cappy, you got anything else to say?
No, that's it. Like I said, we want to thank Lindsay one more time so much for coming on. Go follow We Met at Acme. Go listen to her podcast and stay tuned to hear the boys on We Met at Acme coming soon.
Yep. We'll talk to you guys next week. Love you.
Later.
call you this late. Still I doubt those numbers every time.
Still I doubt those numbers every time.
Why do I replay those messages that you left at the tone last May? Slowly wishing you were never mine.
Slowly wishing.